Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
Welcome back to The Showrunner, the podcast for people dedicated to creating remarkable audio experiences for their audience. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2017. This is episode number 83 of The Showrunner. I'm your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital. And I will be joined momentarily, as I always am, by my major milestone passing co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. And we'll get to that major milestone here in just a second. But first, I do want to let you know that this episode of The Showrunner is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. I will tell you more about this complete solution for digital marketing and sales later, but you can check it out and take a free spin for yourself at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform. And Johnny, I want to kick off this new year of episodes of The Showrunner by issuing a heartfelt and proud congratulations to you for passing 300 episodes of Hack the Entrepreneur. That is awesome.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I was actually kind of confused at first. I was like, major milestone, is it like because I made it to another year or I'm... It seems like so long ago. It's weeks ago I did it, but I took a week off. So in episodes, it was only a week ago. Episode 300, man.
That's amazing. I mean, we've done 83 episodes, and it feels like we've been doing The Showrunner forever and covered a lot and done a lot of episodes. And you've done three times that, you know, three plus times that. It's really, I mean, it's a remarkable thing, you know?
And yeah, and just the fact that I've done both of them. So that's 383. And then your shows. It's a lot of podcasting we do, man.
It is. Yeah, I wonder how many episodes of The Assembly Call I've done, actually, because it's about 35 games a season, and we're in our sixth season. Oh, so, wow. Yeah, I mean, we've turned out a lot. We've done a lot of episodes.
You don't number them because it's seasonal.
Yeah, because it's seasonal. I'd have to go back and look. It'd be interesting to know what the total number is. You know, and I think this is a good segue into today's topic because, as you know, when you do this many episodes of a single show or just many shows, when you produce this many episodes, it can be easy to forget about the most important element of every episode. And the most important element of every single episode that we produce isn't anything that happens on our side of the headphones. You know, we ended 2016 talking about, you know, ways that we can create a better show, right? Ways that we can be more efficient, ways that we can systematize, which, you know, which obviously helps make our show better and helps our processes and hopefully helps us deliver something better to the audience. But so much of that was focused on our end of the headphones. And I think it can be really easy when you really get into a flow and you've done a lot of episodes to forget about that most important element, which is the person, the ears on the other end of the headphones. And Johnny, if you agree, I'd like to spend a few minutes as we kick off 2017 here in this first episode of the new year, talking about that and talking about some ways that we can maintain our focus where it really needs to be, which is on the other end of the headphones, even when we get far down the road with our shows and it can be easy to focus a little bit more on our end. But I think we all understand how important it is to keep that focus where it needs to be.
And I do agree with you, Jared, but I'm wondering, you out there listening, do you agree we should talk about this?
Well, what are they supposed to give us feedback right now? We're recording.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I'm waiting for. We'll wait.
This isn't a live show.
Oh, all right. No, man, I think it's a great topic. I think it's interesting because I didn't really realize how kind of focused we got on the other side of it at the end, the efficiency and the, you know what I mean? Like getting a team around it. And it's So it's interesting that you pointed that out. And it's like, wow, we really did. So I think this is a great way to kick off a new year.
Well, and it's a fine line because, again, all of everything that we talked about at the end of 2016 is focused on creating a better show. And that is inherently focused on the audience, obviously. But I think there is a difference between, you know, looking at it from our end, you know, what can we do better? How can I do this and that? Like, how can I do all those things better? And you can sometimes lose sight of, who is this person who I'm talking to? Why are they listening to my show? What is it about my experience and my knowledge that they are looking for that I can give them? And, you know, there were a few individual situations that kind of occurred for me over the last few weeks that spawned this and spawned my renewed focus on this in the new year. One was listening to Brian Clark's episode of Unemployable with Darren Rouse, where they really talk about the future of blogging and how blogging isn't going away. And how, you know, there's such an opportunity now to differentiate as a blogger by getting back to the basics of focusing on who the reader is, you know, and how, you know, we kind of got into this mode with content marketing, you know, of being so focused on the content and churning out content and all of this and these tools and techniques and streamlining it and doing all of these things that we forgot about the fact that there's an individual people reading this content on the other end. And of course, the same thing goes for podcasting. I'm going to put a link to that episode in the show notes because I think it's an important episode for you to listen to. I also spent some time at the end of 2016 doing a survey of Rainmaker platform users. And again, these aren't a podcast audience, but you know, we asked them the question, you know, what is one thing that you would love to see improved about the platform? And going through and reviewing each individual person's answer gave insight into how they use the platform. You know, what they really want to be able to use it for that they can't use, and just, you know, where they're at with their business and why this is important to them. And it was so eye-opening to me and gave me such a better understanding of who that customer is, right? And we can do the exact same thing with our podcast audiences. And I also got this email from someone at the Assembly Call that I want to read. And as I've told you before, Johnny, you know, almost every season of the Assembly Call, just because it's such an interesting and challenging schedule, I kind of go through this process where I, you know, get tired of it and question it and wonder if I'm doing the right thing and wonder if this is a smart investment of my time. And I've actually done that a little bit more this season because, you know, obviously my time has become a little bit more, I don't want to say valuable, but there are more pulls on it, you know, having a new daughter and all, everything that brings into it. And you know, I was starting to get a little bit frustrated. And then I got this email. And actually, what came in first was a donation, kind of a surprise donation. We hadn't done a run, you know, or a request for donations. And so this donation came in kind of out of the blue, and I emailed the guy back, David, and thanked him. And he said, "Thank you, Jared, for what you do. You do a remarkable job hosting podcasts on the Brink, and Assembly Call is even better. I live in an isolated part of the world, and listening to Assembly Call is about as close as I get to sitting around talking IU basketball with friends, except you and your guests are much more informed, articulate, and sober." And he, you know, he kind of goes on, you know, talking about how he's listened to the other podcasts for many months, you know, needed to allow it to download overnight on his dial-up connection, but this month he finally got a high-speed connection, and it's just enough to get, you know, the post-game shows live. And he says, "Thanks again. Best wishes for the coming year for Assembly Call and you personally." And it, you know, getting that email was the reminder of why we stay up late after the games and do what we do and why we write the post-game emails and why that show has thrived and why every time we kind of butt up against any type of challenge, it's like, okay, but, you know, we're doing it for ourselves in a certain sense, but we're doing it for the same reason why we started the show 6 years ago, because we were looking for a place after the game to kind of hang out and talk about the game and linger on the defeat or commiserate after a loss. And we're the ones providing that. And getting that email was such a great reminder of that and why we're doing what we're doing. And having had all of these experiences, listening to that episode of Brian's show, you know, doing that Rainmaker platform survey, getting this email from David, it's really given me a renewed sense of momentum beginning 2017 of remembering what I'm doing this for, which is for the person on the other end of the headphones, not as much the person on my end of the headphones. And obviously you need a balance there, but it's so easy to get imbalanced and to think so much about ourselves and why we're doing this for ourselves that we forget about the true reason to do this, and that's for that other person. And so as we move forward here in this episode, we'll give some kind of strategic steps that you can take to renew this focus yourself. But I just wanted to share that and why I think this is a really important topic to get into for the new year, because it's made a big difference on my own mindset entering the new year.
Yeah, it's a topic that's been thrown at me right now. So I haven't got to think about it as much, but I do think about it a lot. And it's such a, you said it, where there's like this fine balance, right? Because it is about us. Like, it's, podcasting is selfish and like selfless at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, which is really hard. Like, you have to have the selfishness, because there has to be something in it as a reward for us, because we can't just be like, is Mother Teresa a good example? I'm not sure. But you know what I mean? Like, where we're just always giving, but at the same time, we always have to be giving. Yeah. In order to get anything selfishly, which I think is where we lose it sometimes, right? Where we, I don't know. If obviously, if you're just selfish all the time, nobody's going to care about your show, because it's going to be about you. And I've talked about this a lot on like the beginning of Hack the Entrepreneur, like 300 episodes ago. It was a lot about me. Like, I tried to weirdly make it about me. That's what I thought, just somehow that's what my mindset was. And as I pulled back and further pull back from that, is where it becomes, I guess, about my audience. And then that's when the audience actually sort of built around it, which is interesting, but it's a real struggle, I guess. I don't want to say as content creators, because I don't know, like, I'm a podcaster and a showrunner in that way, but it's such that fine struggle, I think, between that selfishness and selflessness that it's weird, man. It's a weird thing to have to do. And I think we oftentimes do end up focused, especially at the beginning, when we want an audience so badly that it's almost that we go about it the wrong way. Like I did, which is funny, because we're starting for such, I don't know what I'm trying to get at. I think maybe what I'm trying to get at is that, to me, the selflessness of it came once an audience sort of starting to build. It was small, but that's when I realized, like, oh, and then I could talk to them and then pull myself out of it. Yeah. That's when it built bigger. And I know to do that now when I start a show, but it's hard. I'm trying to think about how I can, you out there listening and you haven't started a show yet. And for me or Jared to tell you that you have to do it in a completely selfless way and just try and give and focus on, you know what I mean? Like, one of our like core pillars is like profitability.
Yep.
Which is selfish. In a way, it's not, because it's going to give back more. It's what allows me to continually put out shows to help more and more people.
Well, and remember, it goes both ways. Also, profitable for the audience in terms of them getting more out of it than they put in from a time perspective. So there is a balance there that we always want to keep in mind. And that goes in even with profitability. But you're right. We have to get something out of it too, so that we can keep going. And it's a delicate balance. It's a very delicate balance.
Right. And I guess the one thing I could say that I've learned is that, and I know that it's hard to hear and then think about it, is that that selflessness is which will give you the selfishness. Like, that's what, where the profitability will come from. It's true. Like Brian and Darren said, is like, you have to focus on that end of it. And it sounds easy to say, like, when you can talk to me, like, I get to professionally podcast for a living. Brian and Darren both get to blog for a living. So when you're not in that situation, it's like, well, it's easy for you guys because you don't have to worry about it, right? You make money from that stuff. But the reason why you make money from that stuff is because you've done it in that way, not making money for it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't make a ton of money with the assembly call. And we've spent a lot of our time not making any money at all. And that's what gives you, in a lot of ways, the privilege to make some money from it. And the reward is, you know, you have to treat it that way as much as you can from the beginning.
Exactly. There we go. And assembly call is actually assembly. I guess I was having a hard time with it because the examples were Hack the Entrepreneur and then Brian Clark and Darren Rouse. And it was like, well, you know what I mean? Like, they're years in the making at that point. So it's kind of hard to, but yeah, assembly call. It's true.
And they are years.
You wanted to quit every season.
Yeah.
Because there was no point, but you kept going.
I wanted to quit a few days ago,
But that may have been just because they had a couple of bad games. So it's a very emotional show. It's a roller coaster we go on during the season. But that's the thing. I think that's the point is, you know, your show just reached 300 episodes and Brian and Darren have obviously been doing it for a long time. But when you get it back to, you know, those first principles and the basics for why they've succeeded, why you've succeeded, it's because of being able to keep this focus on the other end of the headphones, on the person that you're serving. And again, you're going to ebb and flow a little bit and you spend, you know, some more time at certain points thinking about yourself and how you can be better and how you can make this easier for you and how you can save time and how you can make money and all of these things. But you just have to recognize when you're doing it too much and then be able to swing the balance back in the other direction. And that's what I want to talk about here as we move through the rest of this episode, Johnny. I want to talk about some specific steps people can take. Like, you know, someone who's listening to this right now and is like, oh man, yes, I've been thinking so much about how I can make my show work better for me. I need to swing this back in the other direction now and make sure that I'm still focused enough on how it can work for the person who's listening. And we're going to give you some specific strategies that you can use to do this. Real quick, once again, The Showrunner is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform, the complete solution for digital marketing and sales. Grow your audience and your email list faster, build profitable marketing automation, killer landing pages and membership programs, sell online courses, digital products, and much more. The Rainmaker platform, which I use, which Johnny uses, helps you focus on your business and stop worrying about the technology that you need to succeed. Start building your own digital marketing and sales platform today. Begin your free 14-day trial at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform. So Johnny, let's get to some concrete takeaways, things that people can do if they really want to get that focus back where it needs to be. And let's start from really one of the most fundamental concepts of The Showrunner that we've been talking about. I don't know what episode was it, like episode 4 or 5 or something. We'll put the link in the show notes. But the audience of one. And look, you know, we talk about how, okay, maybe this is easier to do once we've had our show for a little bit longer. But this is something, if you are listening to this right now and you haven't even started a show, this is something that you can do. This is something that you should do. And your audience of one may early on be based on yourself. And it may, when you sit down to write this, it may sound a lot like yourself. And that's okay, because you probably should be your audience of one when your show first starts, because you've probably identified some gap in the podcast market that you want filled. And you've decided, wait a minute, there's not a show out there like this. Let me do it. That is a great way to begin a show. But you really want to get down and figure out who is that person on the other end of the headphones. And thinking about it in terms of your audience of one is a great, great way to do that. Johnny, what guidance do you have? And again, obviously, we'll link to the old episode. But what guidance do you have for folks about making that a worthwhile exercise, going through and defining their audience of one?
So I'm struggling with this again now, because I don't want to make it like technical or formulaic, because then we lose this essence, I think, that we're trying to get to. So if you haven't listened to the audience of one episode yet, or been in the course and learned about it, it's really the whole reason you're doing this is to have that one person who is that perfect person, that you can help in some way, or entertain or inspire in whatever way you are trying to do with your show. They're sitting on the other side of your desk every single time you talk into a microphone, and that's the person you're talking to. This, like, it's absolutely necessary, yes, and you need to know this, and Jared's right that you should probably be that person at first, or at least a previous version of you, meaning that, like, when I started Hack the Entrepreneur, my audience was me 2 years prior. That was absolutely me. I knew my fears. I knew my desires. I knew everything. And then I knew 2 years later how I had gotten there. And my job was to bring the listener to where I was. But really listen to the episode and do the work, but don't, after you do the work and the technical side or that sort of structured side is done, think about it as just that person. That's it. You just want to have that image of that person on the other side that you are talking to. Like, I can picture you right now sitting across my desk from me, and that's who I'm talking to. When I write a newsletter email to you on Wednesday, I'm writing to you. yes, it goes out to like thousands of people, but it's still just to you. And that's, to me, that's not only does it connect better with you, but it actually, again, selfishly makes it, or made it, especially at the beginning for me, a lot easier to create content. Yeah. Because I wasn't trying to speak to thousands of people. So I didn't get stuck. What do I say in this email to like 3,000 people? It was like, no, I just have to talk to her on the other side of my desk. And it makes it easier, but at the same time, it makes this connection, which allows it to go deeper. So listen to the episode, do the work for the audience of one, but then step back and stop thinking of it in technical terms. And now you just have that image of that person, and they are your, and that person will evolve. But for now, that's who you speak to.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a great way to either begin or maintain your focus on that one person that you're talking to. It's essential. Now, let's say that you're maybe a little bit further along, and you and look, you should do your audience of one. This is something you can do and redo many, many times as you go through your show. But once you have an audience, you have some additional opportunities that you can go with. One of those would be doing a survey. And I'm not just talking about a demographic survey that you would do for advertising, for instance, you know, where it's name and, you know, city and income and all of that. I'm talking about a survey that maybe just has one or two questions, and just ask people an open-ended question like, you know, what answer are you looking to get from listening to this podcast? Or what is one topic we could cover that you think would have the biggest impact on you? You know, something that's relevant to your show, that's relevant to your audience, that gives your audience members a chance to expound and a chance to, you know, explore the studio space a little bit and give you a meaningful answer. Because I'm telling you, going through and reading those is going to give you so much insight into your audience. And I can almost guarantee you that people will tell you things that you hadn't thought about, that you hadn't considered, that you had forgotten. And it just uncovers this entire world of opportunities for content, number one, but more than that, opportunities for understanding, because you will get both explicit and implicit, you know, statements and hints about why people are listening to your show, what they're looking to accomplish, what next step they're looking to take in their life or business that you can help them take. And so it's going to make that content creation process better and simpler and smarter for you, but it also is going to motivate you, because I feel like we get motivated as showrunners by knowing that the content we're creating is really helping people take steps. I mean, that's what should motivate us. And doing a survey really enables you to zero in on what those things are, and is just going to help you and help your audience immensely. So I think that is another great step that you can take. And if you already have an audience, even if it's an audience of 10, you know, or 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, however big your audience is, a survey can really be something helpful if you ask the right question, and leave it open-ended and let them explain, let them explore. And I think it'll really help you out.
So can I just interject here?
Yes.
Because you're right. The audience of 10, the audience of 100, the audience of 1,000, we've already told you that you just need an audience of one. And I think a lot of people... So something we talk about a lot sort of in software is doing things that don't scale. And I think that this is, to me, a really good way to connect is the fact that you should almost get onto Skype or get onto the phone with as many people that are listeners of yours or could potentially be listeners of yours as possible.
Yeah.
And yes, this takes work. Yes, this takes effort. Doing something electronic is easier, but it takes really just getting on the phone with people. I've probably done this 100 times with my show, where I literally have a separate like automated calendar set up. And I have dates in there that people can take 15 minutes and we just talk. And it's not even about like what you like about me or my show. That's totally not, I just want to know what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish. And that helps me because I know how to help people once I know what their struggle is. But if you're out there listening, which you could be, and thinking that, well, I don't even have a list, like any audience yet, or I don't want to email people and have nobody respond. I know we're kind of running out of time, but, I talked to an old listener of mine, just before the holidays, and he was struggling with trying to find a mastermind group.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you know anybody? I set him up like a year ago with just people in my inbox that had like emailed me that question. And I was like, there's some people in my inbox right now, but they're not right for him because he's literally quit his job now and runs a full-time Amazon business. And he wants to go further with it. And so, but I was like, why don't you do this? Because he's like, I don't have an audience. I don't have anybody like that. I don't have an email list. So I was like, why don't you create a survey, which Jared just said, typeform.com. I said, it's completely free. It looks great. Create like what you like, what is in your business? Do you want to meet once a week? Everything you'd want from a perfect person, like basically your audience of one for a mastermind group. I said, and go buy like $10 worth of Facebook ads directed at Shopify and Amazon sellers.
Yeah.
And he got off the phone with me like an hour later. He's like, how does this look? And he showed me the type form. 3 hours later, he's like, dude, 12 people have already like joined it. And I'm starting to talk to them tomorrow. And now he's got 5 people and like a brilliant mastermind group set up.
That's fantastic.
And he didn't have the audience and he did the work. He did the things that don't scale. And so if you are looking to enter an audience, this is what this is for. You're looking to enter a market and you haven't started your show yet. And so you're like, well, I don't have people to talk to. So rather than shooting in the dark, set up this type form or set up calls with people. There's Facebook groups for free on every topic possible. Yeah. Enter those and people want to connect with other people in those markets. They really do. Everyone's dying to connect with other people with like-minded interests. They will get on a Skype call with you. They will answer surveys for you. Use that information and create a show for those people.
Yeah. I love that. And you're not just doing things that don't scale to do things that don't scale endlessly. You're doing things that don't scale so that you can figure out the things that will and then do that
exactly
to
exactly
impact even absolutely more people. So there is a big picture goal there. So I love that. Love that idea, Johnny. So we talked about figuring out your audience of one. We've talked about doing a survey. The final two steps are ask for testimonials. You know, and not only can testimonials be used, obviously, on, you know, sales pages, you know, on your website, in a lot of different places. You can read them on your podcast. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you can do with testimonials. But don't underestimate the importance of you just reading what people say. And look for what people point out in the testimonial, because most people aren't just going to say, hey, this show is good. They're going to say, this show is good because I like this show because you should listen to the show because, and then see what they say, you know, and see if that matches, you know, what they say, if that matches with what you think the big benefits are that people get out of the show, because you may find that people like your show for different reasons than you think that they do. And that can give you more insight. And maybe that's something that you want to double down on. Maybe it's something that you didn't realize, or maybe no one is talking about things that you think should be important and you need to communicate those better. So asking for testimonials is another really good way. And then finally, you know, as you've been doing this for a while, and if you're creating an authentic connection and if you're helping people, and especially if you have an email list and you're sending out emails, you will start getting responses to emails that you send or just random emails that people send to you. We get these on the Showrunner all the time. And going back and rereading these old responses are great for two reasons. Number one, you know, they may include some kind of question or some kind of statement about how you really helped, you know, them achieve something. Take note of that, because those are real audience members telling you what your show meant in a specific way. And surely that will apply to others. So understand what those things are. And then the second reason is reread them just to remind yourself that people appreciate what you're doing and that you're having an impact. Because again, it can be easy to get bogged down in all the stuff on our side of the headphones, our busy schedules, our frustration with systematizing, you know, whatever it is. It can be easy to get frustrated. And every now and then we need that reminder of, oh yeah, there is a real person. There are real people on the other end of these headphones, on the other end of this microphone, that are really getting something out of the show. And that can help motivate you and keep you enthusiastic more than anything else. I've certainly found that to be, and I think you will too. And that's a great way to begin a new year of show running, of podcasting, by rekindling that enthusiasm. And it'll take you to great places and it'll take your audience to great places.
I love it. I love it. We talked about sometime on this show, I can't remember who, but they kept like a, or it was on a different show, but they actually keep like a folder on their, like in their Gmail account. And like anytime an email comes in, they just put it in there after reading it, like from an audience member, because then, especially when you need that motivation and you're just like, oh, I just like, am I doing this to nobody? You go in there and it's like, wow, there's like 24 emails in here from audience members that you forget about. And it's like, oh yeah, this is why.
I'm going to start doing that. Well, plus I was going back to find this email from David because I wanted to use it in this podcast episode, and it took me longer than it should have. I was like, I should have an easy place to go back and access these.
Folder.
Yeah. So I'm going to start doing that. Hey, awesome. By the way, we close with go to showrunner.fm, join our weekly email newsletter. We have some fun stuff planned for this new year. And plus, hey, anytime you reply to one of those emails, you get a reply right back from us. And we always appreciate those emails. So go to showrunner.fm and your email address. Join the showrunner. Declare yourself a showrunner, which, by the way, is now in the dictionary, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
We should end with that. Showrunner is now officially in the dictionary. It's the definition is still too focused on television, Johnny, so we have work to do, but the
showrunner,
the first step.
A person who has creative control over a broadcast series, as on podcasting, and who manages its day-to-day operations.
It actually
says television, but that's official.
Yeah, just take out television. I mean,
just take out television in general.
You know,
from your life.
I'm okay with that. We're about to get rid of cable. I'm very excited about it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is. We'll talk about
that. This has been fun, man. 2017, we're here.
Let's do it. Another great year of episodes. Another great year of shows getting better. And impacting an audience. I'm excited.
Feels good to be back, man.
Yes, it does. And it feels good to be talking with you. We'll talk with you next week on another brand new episode of The Showrunner.
Take care.